Let us go to the Word, Hebrews 2, verses 1 to 4. God is the God of revelation. 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 Revelation? What is revelation? Anyone know? What's a verb form of revelation? To reveal, right? It's as simple as that. It's like when you hear the word revelation, it's like, ooh, something mysterious, something abstract, something like you see and hear what other people don't see and hear. No, it's as straightforward as God, as the God who reveals himself. That's what it means. He reveals himself. The way he does it is where we have to pay attention, as we just read. Through the word, he reveals himself. And the way he reveals himself is he reveals his existence, that he exists, that he is living. He reveals his plan. He reveals his will. Through what does he reveal? Through what? Through the word. And you're going to hear the word, the word, the word, the word all throughout today. What are you going to hear? The word, yes. And he is the God of revelation because he testifies his word through signs, right? And so God also testified his word through signs, wonders, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Also in Mark 16:20, the Lord worked with the disciples who went out and preached everywhere according to his word. He worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it, accompanied the word. So he really means what he says. Amen? Yeah. To show that, he reveals through signs that he means what he says and his word is true. So having faith in God as the God of revelation means to hear the word spoken by the Lord and believe the word. You could hear it, but if you don't believe it, there's no use. You have to hear it and you have to believe it. That's what faith is. That's what a man of faith does. Hear it and believe it. How many of you heard the word spoken by the Lord and believed it? Amen. And that you're still believing it? Amen? Good majority of the room. I know many new friends are here, people who are visiting us for the first time, perhaps. And even you, I want to invite you to open your ears, first your physical ears, but pray that your spiritual ears are open to hear the word as spoken by the Lord and believe it. And if you have, then you have to live a life to reflect, to testify that you have done so, that you have received the word, you have believed the word, and that is by not ignoring the word that you heard. Not ignoring the word, not dismissing it, not walking away from it, not dampening it, not compromising it, but to receive as is. Paying the most careful attention, as we just read in the New King James Version, it says we must give more earnest heed. Give more earnest heed to the things that you have heard. Heed means to pay attention. But the way you pay attention is because these words are weighty. They are important. They are serious. You don't just kind of shake it off. You don't let it go into one ear and then let it go out the other, but you keep it in there. That's how the man of faith receives the word and runs with it, runs by it, runs for it. So in other words, you live by the word. You live by the word, not ignoring it, paying attention to the word and obeying it. That's what faith life is about. Because it's so important to us. As we read the Bible, and there are many of you who have tried and are trying perhaps to this day, if it's difficult for you, that's why we teach Logos Bible School, to unravel, unpack this intense and perhaps intimidating to most people called the Bible. Because it's big, 66 books, and it deals with years of history. A good part of it is about the Jewish people. So when you read it, it's like, I'm not a Jew. Why do I need to read about it? And these people are from thousands of years ago. This is like ancient, like the Bronze Age, or, you know, people. Why would I need to read about David? It was so long ago. So it is very difficult. However, through teaching, we understand through studying it what the Bible is about, which is about revealing God. It's the revelation of God. The way God reveals himself is through the word, and the word is written in the Bible. And when we read in the Bible, starting from the creation of the world, and we go all the way through towards the end of the Bible, which is towards the end of the New Testament in history, for the good part of it is written chronologically. So as you're racing towards the end of the history of the Bible, which is then geared towards the Christians, the believers, the message. So certainly the Bible is where it is for written for all people to know him, come to know him, to believe in him, and be saved. However, as Christians, we must not just ignore it or and say, oh, this is for other people, or we can diminish its weight. Not so. All the more, as we get towards the end of the Bible, the greater the weight of the word, the greater the seriousness, the importance, the significance of the message. So when we read the Bible, when we hear the Bible, when we hear the word of the Bible, when we study it, we have to approach it with this reverent heart, humble heart, ready to receive humbly as the word spoken by the Lord. What do you think? Right now, I'm speaking to you, and you're saying, like, oh, this lady, she's funny, and she's interesting, and a lot of people say, you're so passionate, and blah, 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 and I'm great. I'm grateful that I am not passionate, right? Unpassionate, lacking, or boring. That would be terrible. But it's just packaging, if you will. I'm just a tool. I'm a medium through which the word of God is traveling to us. Like the microphone system that you're hearing my voice through, I'm the microphone for the Lord. So this is what I live for, this is what I pray for, this is what I prepare for. And in this hour, when you hear the word coming out of my mouth, if you are open in your ears, the ears of your spirit, then you would hear the words as being spoken by the Lord. Then your attitude would be different. Not just hearing it and kind of like, oh, okay, that's interesting speech. Or some people say, like, it was a nice presentation. Oh, okay, thanks. Better than, again, uninteresting presentation, right? So, but people who come for the first time, you can hear it as a speech, presentation, story, whatever it is. But after that stage, one needs to then move on to receive the word, to be able to receive the word as the word spoken by the Lord. Now, the word is very important, not just in the Bible context of spiritual life, but the whole human society over history of mankind has been built by language, by words. So we communicate through words. Now, certainly, we can communicate through our bodies. So there's something called body gesture and eye contact, facial gesture. So we have these gestures that we make to communicate. But what's unique and what makes humans superior to all other creatures in the world is that we have this complex way of communicating called the language. So we have language, we have words to communicate our thoughts, our desires, our plans, our feelings, our knowledge. And this is the way we gain knowledge, retain knowledge through words. So we can read books, we can hear stories, we can even sing or listen to music with words, and they move us and they inspire us, challenge us, or sometimes encourage or even discourage to react to the words, respond to the words that we are exposed to. So the success and the failure of a man's life can be also then said of being influenced, even determined by whose words you listen to. So, you know, they're saying, like, you are what you eat. If you had a hot dog last night, you don't want to think about that. But you are what you hear, perhaps. So you are what you hear. So the words that you hear make you who you are in terms of what you think, how you feel, and how you speak, how you live your life. So the greatest influence that you have in the initial stage of your life are your parents, your family members. So the ones who are closer to you, your so-called the loved ones, this is your social circle, in the immediate, intimate, the closest, and their words that you are the ones that you hear. So, you know, the mother tongue, the first language, is the language that you heard as a baby. So whether it's English, Korean, Spanish, or Chinese, this is the word that you were exposed to initially at first. So that's your mother tongue. But certainly, if you only heard that for a couple of years and then you moved to another place and you learned that language all your life, then then that's your primary language. But this is how you learn what's very emotional even, right? So even if you only learned that language for the first 5 years of your life, your association with, like, mom, dad, or food, whatever, something that's very important to you are in that language, it's very meaningful to you in that sense, right? So influence that way. But also they instill in the language the value system of life. So you learn a lot of things from your parents, your family members, your relatives who are near you, and you start to listen to them, and you start to incorporate, if not internalize, their values through their words. But after that, one is sent to school, and you go to school and you listen to your teachers, the teachings of your classroom. So in the old school days, again, it's depending on which culture, but apprenticeship was more common way. So the influence of the teacher, the individual teacher on the individual student was greater than today. Today, in classrooms today, I would hate to teach special K to 12 today. I don't know how you do it. It's just the students are not listening. They're all doing... This is their default attitude. And then the teacher themselves, they're like, click, click, watch this, watch that. Khan Academy crash course on YouTube. And then that's what they do. Listen. So then the teacher's like, oh, pop quiz. And then they give testing. And then they have to go to workshop for more testing. So I don't know what kind of influence that they would have in terms of their words. But certainly in the old model, it was really heavily dependent on that individual master slash teacher who really shaped the worldview for the students. Once they grow up, then they go to the world, go out, quote unquote, out to the world, to the business setting, work setting, job market, and they're influenced by the colleagues around them and the boss in their workplace. So we are really, really exposed to not only our ability to communicate in languages, but the way we hear and how we keep them and how we reject certain things shape who we are, and therefore our success. The value of who we are as individuals, our success, our failure, is really dependent on the words that we hear. And of course, nowadays, you don't even need to speak. You just need to have a good set of thumbs. Hello? Yes, thumbs. Texting or whatever. So we communicate with text or these words that we see on screen. And now English scholars are like pulling their hair out because like grammar is out the window and nouns turn into verbs. And like I always go like, was that a verb? Like I didn't get that. They say like the word because has like a different way of communicating now. It's like it used to be because of something, but because... just blank. You just put anything next to because, and then it just explains in two words what it is. And because now, you know, with Twitter, 120 initially, and then a little bit more, Instagram, whatever, the social network, you want to be as condensed as possible, and you put in acronyms for everything. And it's just like, it took us for the longest time. I think it was Bob, like many, many years ago, someone said like, was it TY or something? Bob was like, I forget, someone said, he was picking someone up, and they said like TY, and Bob was like, what is TY? T-Y, T-Y, the longest, like, T-Y, what is T-Y, T-Y? And then, oh, thank you. Yes. So all these things, but not only that, there are these people called influencers on YouTube and social media. So these are the ones with huge followings. And then whatever lifestyle product they say on the screen influences the followers, so the product spreads. So a lot of businesses now with the low-risk models, like e-commerce, instead of having a storefront and physical stores, they are selling through the internet, and they use these influencers. So they have to have, besides capital for the goods and the makers and the owner, they have to have a team of full-time social media team. Like this is like the critical support system, the support staff they need to have, because what they're doing is not just creating websites and ways of selling and shipping and stuff. They need to promote, and the way they're promoting is finding out who the influencers are. So they're constantly online and doing this. And if the influencer endorses product, then these followers will potentially become their customers. So, you know, if you buy anything online, they always go like, hey, send this to your friend, and you and your friend are going to get 20% off at the same time, right? So then they're like, yeah, 20%. So then you tell your friends. It's like automatically evangelizing through media the products that you are actually paying for. So it's really powerful that way. The words are really spreading, and the words are bringing the dollars in. So we understand the weight of words. Then bring that to the spiritual life, because as spiritual beings, God made us spiritual beings. He gave us a set of ears for the Spirit. And then we have to ask the question, who influences, whose words would influence my spirit the most, the best, right? Because just like physical life, you can make money or lose money. You can be an important person of honor, or you can be ashamed, and you can really be a failed life, depending on whose words you live with and live by. How much more for the spiritual life? The success of spiritual life, according to the Bible, would be eternal life, to live with God, to live like God. How many of us want that? To live like God in God's environment is to never perish, to never die. That is, to live gloriously, happily, joyfully, forever, like God, with God, in His environment. That will be the ultimate success of the spiritual life. The flip side of that, the failure of spiritual life would be what? A place that's void of that, absolutely absent of all those things I've just said. It's to be away from God forever, in torment, in pain, in shame, in isolation, to be alone in darkness, in pains, to suffer forever and ever. And that is the place called hell. So that will be the ultimate failure of the spiritual life, and all determined by whose words we listen to. The way God made the world was by the word. So that's what we read in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And He said, let there be light. He said. So you read about in Genesis 1 in quotation. Let there be expands. Let there be dry land appearing from the waters, receding. Let there be plants. Let there be planets. Let there be animals. Let there be. So He spoke. And according to His word, things came, because they responded to the word spoken by the Creator. Amen. Yeah. Even right now, you need to look over here. Yes? Because we don't just listen with our ears, but we also listen with our whole body. I told you, right? We do communicate with words, but we also communicate with our eyes, because eyes are the windows to the heart. Yes. So we need to pay attention. Pay careful attention. What do you say? However, the tragedy for mankind began in the garden. Let's go to Genesis 2. Start from there. And then we read 17 and 3. For our new friends, let's see how God made us. 2:7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. So man being the physical and the spiritual, God made us as living being. So the flesh has food and has these physical ears, the words that they hear. This is how they determine to live. But the spirit inside the physical body, which is a being, not just an idea, but being that lives or dies, has a separate food. And that food is called the word of God. Let's go to 2:17. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Now, people mistake that and thinking like, oh, it's like the poisonous apple that Snow White ate. And that when she ate, she died, right? So people take this as, oh, the apple. I don't know where they got the apple from. But apple that Adam ate killed him. But when we read, Adam did not die. He died later on, hundreds of years later on, not initially. So it's not the physical that God spoke to or spoke about, but the spiritual. So God gave this in the form of command, do not eat, do not eat. But in Genesis 3, we see that a serpent was there that was cunning. So in chapter 3, verse 1 says, now the serpent was more crafty or cunning than any of the wild animals the Lord God made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? So while he's doing that, he's probably going, doing that. And then she's like, listening and being sucked into his words. Like, what? See, what are you saying? Right? So did God really say you can't eat from any of the tree in the garden? And what did the woman say? We may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not surely die. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and then she took the fruit. So there, she understood what God has said, and she repeated back to the serpent what she heard. But here's the serpent turning it around by adding the word not. You will not surely die. And adding on, actually, you will be like God. There came dilemma for Eve. Right. Eve is a woman who came, the person who came from Adam physically, but also spiritually connected to him. She is hearing this and she's like now thinking, crossroads. Do I listen to God or do I listen to the serpent? Do I not eat or do I eat and become like God? What did she choose? She ate, wanting to be like God. Instead of becoming like God, however, and of course she gave it to the man and man ate too, this was deception. Being cut off from God as a result of rejecting the word of God. And we see that by God banishing Adam and Eve from the garden where they lived and putting a flaming sword around it to cut them off, from the word of God, from the life of God. So now they're in a broken relationship with God. Not just they, but because all men came from Adam, having received his spirit, sin came into Adam's spirit, and all of us inherited that sin, being cut off from God. Let's go to Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all men, because all sin. When did all sin? When did we all sin? In Adam. Because Adam is the spirit from whom we receive our spirit. So we're all connected by that one spirit. So in the eyes of God, there's only one spirit, the spirit of Adam. We are all individual souls because we have our own personality, our own free will, intelligence, emotion, all of that. But we are connected spiritually to Adam. So when Adam sinned, all sinned, and result is that all died in sin. What happens to the spirit that is sin, that is dead, that is cut off from God? They do not make it to eternal life with God, to live with God, but away from God in a place called hell. The fire of hell becomes the reality for all men, and all men become slaves to the devil because they listen to the devil. So again, you are who you listen to. But of course, men did not know that. And that's why God began his work of revealing his existence, his will, his plan through his word. Even though our ancestor Adam failed to listen to God, there were men of faith who listened to God and were blessed, were saved. And one man was Noah. So Noah, in Genesis 6, was, in the eyes of God, blameless, while the whole world was filled with wickedness. And God decided to drown the entire world by a great deluge, a global flood that would drown everything that breathes through its nostrils. But God said to Noah, I'm going to do this, but if you want to live, listen to me and build an ark. Build an ark with you and your family. Build an ark, and then you will be saved. So hearing that word with great fear, in great fear, Noah and his family members went all in. All in. For how long did they build this ark for? For? How many? 70 years. Not 7. 7-0. 7-D. Every day, hi-ho, hi-ho, we go to work and build an ark, hi-ho, hi-ho, hi-ho. Every single day, they're building an ark on top of a mountain. So everyone is then calling them crazy. But while they're doing it, they're probably telling other people, listen, join us, you got to build this ark because the flood is coming. Think of the faith that they had, that for 70 years, the temptation, some of you are like going like, I've been in COJ for like 7 months and I've been tempted. You got long ways to go, honey. 70 years. You have 70 years to meet up, all right? For 70 years, they had to resist the temptation to keep the word and listen, remember the word they listened, that Noah listened to, and in great fear, uphold that word, not ignoring it, but paying careful attention to it and long for that salvation. And when they did complete that ark according to God's schedule, the rain came. When they went inside, the 8 members of Noah and his family members and the animals, as according to God's command, they went in and God closed that door and the water came. Rain, we think of rain as just from top, but top and bottom, the entire planet was drowned. All died except for Noah and the animals in that ark. Do you believe that? Hebrews talk about it. In Hebrews 11:7 talks about Noah therefore becoming an heir of righteousness because in great holy fear he built the ark because he listened to the word. But not just Noah, Lot, who was a nephew of Abraham, who was told to leave his land and he listened to God's word, and because of that God gave him promise of blessing for his descendants. Lot was his nephew, and Lot was living in a place that was very fertile, very nice, and very cultural. Maybe culturally liberal, progressive, whatever it is. But in the eyes of God, it was evil. Sodom and Gomorrah, they were the cities. And God said through the angels that he sent to Lot and his family that he was going to burn down the cities next day. So they had overnight to think and plan and move, which was to run out of the city. So Lot had been in Sodom, and he was given the warning, and then according to that warning, he had to make decision to move. And that was by leaving and running out as quickly as possible. And because Lot listened to the word of the angel, the daughter's husbands, they laughed and they considered it a joke, so they ended up staying. But he initially with his wife and the two daughters ran out. But the wife, as they were walking, they were given the word to not turn back. To not what? Not look back, but keep running. They had, the angel initially said to go a little bit farther, but Lot said, listen, I got knee problems. I got joints. I can't run that fast. I don't have enough time. Let us just go to this other place and say, okay, Zoar, the small city. When you get there, then the brimstone fire will rain down and destroy the city. So they ran out, but they were given the word to not look back. But this wife of Lot was a very curious one. Always curious. Curious kills the cat, right? So she is being like a cat and looks back. I'm like, is the word of God true? I wonder. And she looked back. What happened to her? She turned into a pillar of salt, not making out of the destruction. Still, Lot and the two daughters continued. Think about their temptation. Let's count. One, two, three, four. Let's count. One, two, three. Let's count. One, two, three. Let's count again. One, two, three. Mama's missing. Keep going. Keep going, keep going, keep going. They had to keep going until they reached the city. And then the city where they called once home was burned down. But they were saved because they listened to the word of God. The people of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, had become many when God finally calls them to be his people. But they were many as many slaves, as slaves of the Egyptian king. But God sent Moses to bring them out. And the way he brought them out was through these plagues, which was basically destroying, just the destruction of the people and the land of Egypt. The final plague, the 10th plague that caused the Egyptian king to surrender was the death of every firstborn, also known as the Passover night. So this was when God sent Moses after speaking to Moses from the burning bush and revealing his name. And that was, I am. I am that I am. Altogether, I am. What's the name of God that was revealed to Moses? I am. I am. And of course, that's a transliteration for the name, from there, the name Jehovah or Yahweh comes, which means I am. In other words, the self-existent God. So that was the name that Moses received. That's the name of the Lord. Through the angel who spoke to him from the burning bush, not God himself, but the angel of the Lord spoke to him and gave him this mission to go and bring the people of Israel out, the descendants of Abraham. And when Moses spoke to the people, initially, they didn't really pay attention to this old man. But because he performed the miracles, right, like striking the river and turning blood, the river, water, the body of water turns into blood. And they kind of like slap in the face, OMG, who's this guy? Yes? And then the flies come, the locusts come, and the boils strike, and darkness come, hails come, all the destruction comes. They start to pay attention to Moses. And when Moses said, you know, if you want to live, if you want your firstborn to live, slaughter an animal, a lamb, and put its blood around the door frame, and then the spirit of death will pass over. When they listened, because they were so afraid for their lives, they realized none of their home household members were struck, including their animals, but their neighbors who did not have the blood were struck. They all the more feared Moses like God. They didn't see God. They forgot about the God of their ancestor, but they saw Moses. When Moses then finally said, let's go, follow me to the promised land, we go. And they all marched out. How many of them? 600,000 plus males, but you add on others, the extras, you have about 2 million people. After 430 years of dwelling there as slaves, they all leave overnight. They go into the Red Sea because Moses tells them to do it. Because the Lord spoke through Moses and Moses said, raising his arm, go march into the water. And they were like, what? Are you crazy? Go! Look, they're looking in back and there are Egyptians coming after them. They have no choice. They stepped into the water, but the water was parted for them to walk through like dry land. Do you believe that? And after that, they walked into the desert with the promise that they will soon walk into the promised land, the land of Canaan. So they then saw Moses going up to a mountain to receive the law of God, where God spoke to Moses. And the way they saw, we saw this in a movie this year, they made it in the computer like animation, you know, computer animation. It was frightening. Like, we realized, like, it's not a small mountain. We're like, ah, you know, but it's like dark clouds casting over this immense mountain in the middle of the desert and thundering. It's just thundering and they don't hear anything. But they understood that this is the voice of the Lord speaking with Moses. So the people fell down when Moses went up to receive the law. So when he's up there speaking with God and comes down, certainly the first time he comes down, they made the golden calf and the stone tablets are broken. But the stone tablets contain the word of God that he himself wrote. God himself wrote. The second time he went up, God told him what to write. So Moses brought the he wrote it according to what God spoke to him, and he brought the stone tablets down. Now, when he descends the mountain, something is different about Moses. People pay attention. What was it? His face. What happened to his face? Was it burned? Fire, smoke coming out of his face? Almost. His face was radiant like the sun. They can't even see his eyes because it's so bright. Just like you try to look into the sun directly. You can't because it's too bright. And his face was like that. People fear for their lives. They say, please look away. Look away. We're so scared. And Moses, being so gentle, he put a veil over his head. I would be like looking at people with the eyes closed right now. I'll be like, look at me right now. Let the beam hit you right now. Zzz. Oh my God, what kind of pastor is that? I'm not Moses. I told you, I'm not Moses. But Moses was gentle. He covered his face with a veil. So they understood that this was a result of speaking with the Lord. You speak with the Lord who made the heavens and the earth, this is what happens. Wow, you become like God. So that's why they said in Exodus 20, 18 to 19, speak to us yourself, we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. That's enough. We see in your face, you spoke to God and God spoke to you. That's enough. You speak to us. Don't let God speak to us directly. Because they realize if God were to speak to them directly, they would die. So they listened to Moses' word and they pay attention to Moses' word as the word of God. And to remind them of this, God told them to build the tabernacle, the sanctuary in the desert, and later on the temple of Jerusalem as a permanent structure. Inside of it was the name of the Lord God, I am Jehovah. But also inside there is the ark of the testimony that contain the tablets of the testimony. They're called what? The tablets of the testimony. Yes, the stone tablets that contain the Ten Commandments. So that was it's almost like a sample, right? The reminder for the people that God spoke to them through Moses. So Deuteronomy 4:33 says, has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire as you have and lived? So here is God speaking to them through Moses, and to no other people he spoke. So they understood that this was a great privilege because they were the chosen people of God. However, once they enter the promised land, they marry their women, they made treaties with them, and they started worshiping other gods. And even worse, they started listening to so-called the false prophets. What kind of prophets? Ezekiel 13, Ezekiel talks about false prophets, the warning, God's hatred and his coming wrath against them. In 13:9, he says, my hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will not belong to the council of my people or listed in the records of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord, the sovereign Lord. Ezekiel 22:28 says, her prophets whitewash their deeds for them by false visions and lying divinations. They say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. When the Lord has not spoken. So in their time, there were false prophets. Who are the prophets? The prophets were men of God. They spoke the message of God. So like Ezekiel, Isaiah, these people that we read about in the Bible. But there were simultaneously also false prophets who claimed themselves to be prophets. And maybe the people around them called them prophets because they were speaking of unusual things. But just because they were speaking of unusual, like out-of-body experience, because quote-unquote this sounds quote-unquote spiritual, does not mean that they came from God. They spoke as if God spoke to them. And they said, the Lord says, I had a vision. And they're like, oh, wow, that must be a prophet. But in the eyes of God and to the Lord, he never spoke to them, never gave them any vision or any message. Therefore, they were false. And God says, I am going to judge them. I'm going to punish them and destroy them and destroy all of you who listen to them as well. So if you like to go and listen to the false prophets and ask them about your fortune, should I marry this guy? Am I going to make money from this business? Tell me. You go seek your fortune from these false prophets, you will also be destroyed with the false prophets. So God was angry towards them. But because the temple of Jerusalem with the name of the Lord there, with the stone tablets, the tablets of the testimony reminding them that God spoke to no other peoples on earth except their people, they found it as comfort. As long as that was there, that they would be blessed, not will be punished. They will not be destroyed. So when the Son of God, a man who called himself the Son of God in the name Yeshua, he came looking at the temple of Jerusalem and said, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. The Jews clearly were upset. The priests, the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, they were so upset because they knew the importance of the sanctuary. That was where the name of the Lord who spoke to their people was there. So again, that reminder, the meaning would be gone if the temple was gone. But what Yeshua, Jesus, and Yeshua in his Hebrew name, which means the Savior, was saying was the temple of his body, his death, and his resurrection. He was saying that he was going to die by the hands of men. But in 3 days, what's going to happen? He's going to be raised back to life. Now, what's he going to do? Think about it. What's he going to do? Up until this point, the Lord God spoke to who? Which people? The people of Israel. Exclusively the people of Israel. So they were the only people that God spoke to that they heard from, that they heard the voice of God. Or they were the only people who heard the voice of God. And it was the name of the Lord that they knew, Jehovah, that the temple reminded, the temple contained. But that name was the name delivered by the angel. Acts 7:53 says, you have received the law that was given through angels, but have not obeyed it. So in the Old Testament it says the Lord, but really it was the angel of the Lord. God never spoke directly to the people because anyone who hears from him, anyone who sees him, cannot live, must die. Exactly as the people said. But here's the Son of God coming and said, now I'm going to speak. God will speak. The Father God will speak through the Son. As the Son, he would speak directly, not just exclusively to the people of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, but the souls of all men will hear the voice, the word of God. Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews 1:1-2. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. So here he is saying up until many times, various ways, the prophets, that is the Old Testament, right? In the Old Testament, to which people did God speak? Israel. And he spoke to them through the prophets, but really through the angels. There you go. Angels. Because angels speaking, giving words to the prophets. When the prophets heard the voice of the Lord, it wasn't the Lord speak. Remember, right? If the Lord were to speak to you, what happened to you? You die. Right? The human ear is amazing because we have this limited range of hearing. We don't hear things that are too small or too loud. Right? If we were to hear you hear the ants go marching one by one, hurrah, hurrah, then we will go crazy. Yeah, if you heard the ants marching, then you will go nuts. Yes? But we don't hear them, thank the Lord, right? We also don't hear like supersonic noise that the dogs may be hearing, right? They hear, well, they have a higher range or broader range of hearing than us. That's why they're always barking, because they're hearing something, right? It's amazing. Like dogs are upstairs, and then the mailman truck is like 2 blocks away, and he bumps up, he just up there. I'm like, what? And then it takes a while for the mail truck to come. But like, hello, how long are you going to? Because he's already hearing. He's like, I got to alert the people. The truck is around the corner. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And people are like, it's like, we don't hear anything. But dogs hear these things. And if we hear the things that dogs hear, we will go crazy as well. So God, if God were to speak to men, we would all die. So the voice that the prophets heard was from the angels. Angels in the name of the Lord Yeshua. But here is the word saying, now in these last days, we're not talking about the last days 2019 or 2029, 2039. We're talking about in the New Testament, right? After all the prophecy of the Old Testament, the Lord has come. The Son of God has come in the name of the Father. John 5:43 says, the name of the Father, which is Yeshua, not Jehovah, but Yeshua, which is Matthew 1:21, which means Emmanuel, God with us. He will save his people from their sin. Hallelujah. So in whose name did he come? Yeshua. And he came to all men to speak to all men as the Son to whom all things were made. Who commanded all things to come? Remember in the beginning, I said in the beginning, all things listened to him and came about to existence, right? So let's go to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So who was with God in the beginning? The Word, right? That the pronoun he there is referring to the Word, whole logos. And verse 3 says, through him. Who is he again? Through the Word, all things were made. Without the Word, nothing was made that has been made. So who made the world? The Word. Here, we're talking more specifically, not just the way God spoke, but here is the Word, whole logos, altogether. And whole logos refers to the self-manifestation of God. So three things, okay? The Word. Repeat after me. The Word. Whole logos. The self-manifestation of God. So this is the way God decided to reveal himself in the beginning. This beginning is before the creation of the world. This beginning is in eternity, before time began. Because time began with the universe. Before the universe was made, God was always, and he decided this. And he said he was going to reveal himself through the Word, whole logos. Not just spoken word like the sound you're hearing, but whole logos is a person, being. And this Word made the world. And we're still talking about he, the Word. And verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from where? The Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word that made the world, whole logos, God's self-manifestation, has now been manifested. Flesh, in the flesh, physically. Why? To speak the Word. He came to speak the Word. So here, the Word became flesh to speak the Word. So the Word of whole logos, the Word of whole logos, the Word who is the incarnate Word, the words that he spoke, are the words of all words. Do you understand? Yes? Should we pay attention to his words? Yes. Because by his word, he made the world. And by his word, he will judge in the last day, which we're going to get to in a minute. But see, this is the problem. I look around the room and I think about like 170 people are in this room right now, or 60, 70. I see the result of you not listening, sitting here year after year, but never listening. Hearing, but never listening, or the other way around. So you're hearing noise, basically. Because your life, look at your life. Your life is the face. How you live your life is the face. Moses' face. We need a sign that I've heard from the Lord. And the sign is this face, my life. So I can see it already. People who don't change, who sit here year after year, like a statue, like a pillow filling up the seat. And like a pillow, you leave and you live your life the same way. Or even worse. If you are hearing the word as the word spoken by the Lord, there will be signs that testify that you have heard the word spoken by the Lord. Amen. That Lord is whole logos. Whole logos who made the world. So he who is from the beginning, if you hear it as his word, you ought to be paying careful attention. Earnest, the most earnest heed you would give to it. So here he is saying the word becoming flesh, now to speak to all men as the Son of God. Men did not know that at the time. After he was baptized, he began his work as the Son of God, preaching about the Father in heaven and the kingdom of heaven. He began to do this work we call the public life. The public life of Christ as the Messiah. He is revealing himself and teaching and preaching. And one day he takes a couple of his disciples to a mount in Matthew 17, and he is transfigured. So transfigured, so momentarily, he is now appearing differently, as in shining like the sun. His robe looks so clean and shine and bright, like never ever seen before. So if the Jewish people saw this, right, which his disciples were, who are they remembering? Shining like the sun, bright? Moses. And guess what? Who showed up next to him? Moses. Ta-da! Somebody called my name. Moses showed up. Not just Moses. God spoke to us through whom? The prophets. The prophet shows up also. Elijah. So in Matthew 17, we see Elijah, Moses, next to Yeshua. And Peter and John, they're in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they're like, let's build us a temple, a shelter, commemorate this moment, and let us never forget this moment. Wow. Our Lord is one of them. He's one of them. Yeah, we were not in the wrong. He's one of them. He is a man of God. But then there was a voice in heaven that was loud, loud, and saying what? This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. The very last part. What did the voice say? Listen to him. Turn to your neighbor. Listen to who? Listen to Yeshua. Hallelujah. You thought that listening to the word of Moses made you special? Listening to the word of Elijah made you people above all the other peoples? This is their faith to this day. Even if they're living in a small land called Israel today, they look forward to the third temple and Zionism. Like Zionists are looking forward to that day when they will live out the promise of God that was made to Abraham. The kings and kingdoms will come from them. Yes. So that's the privilege, because they say God only spoke to us. We are the ones with Moses and Elijah, none of you guys. But now they were gone. When the disciples opened their eyes, there was no one but the Lord standing before them. And they remember God saying, the voice from heaven saying, listen to him. So naturally, there were signs to accompany that his words are the words of God, the words that reveal who God is. So when he was out in the sea with the disciples, he had fallen asleep. And the disciples were saying, Lord, don't you care if we drown? Stop sleeping. Stop taking a nap. Wake up. And the Lord wakes up and he says, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? And he looked out to the sea and said, be quiet. So when he said, be quiet then, what happened? The winds and the waves died down completely. He rebuked them and they died down completely. It was completely calm. And then the disciples asked each other, who is this man? What kind of man is this that the winds and the waves obey him? There was a paralyzed man in Matthew 9:6 who had been lying on the mat, and the Lord said to him, take heart, son, your sins have been forgiven. And then you take a mat and go home. So his sins were forgiven, and simultaneously he was healed by the word of Yeshua. He got up from the mat and he walked home. People saw that. They were also stunned about that. Mark 1, there was an incident where a man in the synagogue, seeing Yeshua walking in, started to scream. And it was the demons, the unclean spirits inside of him, screaming and saying, we know who you are. We know who you are. I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. And Yeshua turned to him and said, shut up. I mean, it says, be quiet. But, you know, I'm sorry, Lord. But, you know, I my heart was like, shut up. So the Lord said, be quiet. Come out of him. So he was not speaking to the man, but he was speaking to this other thing that nobody saw or even knew about. They never heard any prophet commanding demons, ever. The prophets of the Old Testament performed miracles, but they never saw the prophets commanding demons or unclean spirits to move. But here is Yeshua saying, come out of him. And what happened? The unclean spirit shook the man and violently knocked him over. And with a shriek, the spirit left. And they were shocked about what they saw. But then the man was healed. So the people were just stunned. And they were saying, what is this? A new teaching, even with authority. He even gives orders to unclean spirits. Because who is he? Who is he? He is the Word who became flesh. He is God who speaks, who spoke from the beginning, who still speaks, and he has now finally come as man to speak in the last days to the souls of all men. Hallelujah! And he also raised the dead. Lazarus, who had been buried in the tomb for days, and he said to roll away the stones. And when he commanded, Lazarus, come out. If there was nobody coming out, then they would have all been like, you know, we don't believe you anymore. But what happened? There was noise coming from the deepest place of the dead, walking out a man still in his wrapping. And he probably was like, kind of like jumping like this because he was all wrapped. And he came out obeying the voice, the word, the command of the Lord Yeshua. Hallelujah. Amen. And even more importantly, in the last day, he said he will judge with his word. So in John 12:48, says, there's a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn him at the last. Let's read that together. John 12:48. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. Who's going to condemn? The words he had spoken. His words will condemn in the last day. Do you believe that? Because he is the Lord who speaks. Not just to raise the dead and heal the sick and do all these wonderful things for people, but more importantly, he will judge by his word. In John 5, 23 and 28 to 29 says, the voice of the Son of God, though when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, those who hear will live. Those who hear the voice of the Son of God will live. The dead will be raised to live. That is who he is. But at the time and even to this day, people don't want to hear him. Why not? John 8, 44, 47, he says, you belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason why you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. This is the same today. So same today. Actually, people say, well, why is it that people don't believe? And why is it that people doubt? And why is it that it's hard for me to believe? Listen to these words that Yeshua spoke thousands of years ago. Still true today. Because you belong to the devil, who's the father of lies, and you have heard his words all your life in your home, at school, at work, all the places, the books you read, all the shows that you listen to, all the music you listen, all the words been feeding inside your head through those years are lies to pull you away from God, pull you away from the truth. So you have no ability to discern what is the truth and what is false. But here he is saying that I'm speaking to you the truth. And if you have the ears to hear, you will hear the word of the truth. That's why he said repeatedly, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Whoever has the ears to hear, who has the ears, let them hear. However, when it was time for his death, he did not speak. Instead, he went silent, like a sheep, led to its death. But when he died on the cross, as he bled out, and as he died there through his torn flesh, bleeding out, and in his last breath, he made the declaration which said, it is finished. The moment of his death was the moment he was finishing the will that sent him, the will of the Father that sent the Son to the world. And that was the word that the Father gave him in the beginning in John 10, 17. The command that the Son came to obey as man was for him to lay down his life. Not a suicide mission, but for him to glorify the Father. He would be killed by the hands of men. But he would do it willingly, not out of weakness, not out of fear, but he would do it willingly, laying down his life, for he had the authority to lay down his life and the authority to take it up again. So the word that he heard from the Father, when did he hear it? In the garden before he was arrested. Oh, Father, please don't let me. No, 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 no. Go, son, die. No, that's not when it happened. He knew that was why he came. In the garden, he was understanding what was coming, that this is the moment finally to fulfill the mission, fulfill obeying the command, which was to become sin on behalf of all men, so that the wrath of God we put on him, that he would die, that death will come to him, because his body is spirit. He cannot die by the nails or the spear that humans made as weapons or device to kill the flesh, because his flesh is the word. But what killed him was sin. The sin would be put on his body, but he did it willingly because it was the word he heard from the Father in the beginning as the word Logos. Hallelujah. Through his obedience, he judged the liar who's been speaking from the beginning to himself. And by that word, he deceived himself to be like God as an angel, became a fallen angel and a serpent. He lied to the woman saying, you will also be like God. Try it. You will not die. That liar was judged when the truth was revealed by obeying himself to death. He revealed that he is the truth. The Lord Yeshua is the truth. And by that, the liar was revealed to be condemned forever. Hallelujah. And by redeeming through his blood, with his blood, the sins of all men, he set them free. He set them free, set us free from sin and the price of sin, that is death, from the chains that kept us in captivity, in the slavery of the devil. He broke by redeeming us, paying the price of our sin, so that we would be saved from hell, that we don't have to go to hell because he paid our penalty. Hallelujah. There's no more penalty to be paid. He saved us from sin, from the price of sin, from hell, from the devil. Are you happy about that? Yes. That salvation is what we read about in Hebrews 2. So great a salvation. Say it with me. So great a salvation. Once again. So great a salvation. Once again. So great a salvation. What kind of salvation is that? That salvation is greater than the salvation from the global flood that drowned the whole world, where Noah and his family were saved from. That salvation is greater than the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, from which Lot and his daughters were saved. That salvation is greater than being saved from the death of every firstborn in Egypt on the night of the Passover. That salvation, why is it greater? It's because it's from sin, from death, from hell, from the devil. Hallelujah! No other salvation. That's why it's so great a salvation. That's what Yeshua accomplished when he died on the cross. In 3 days, as he said he would, he was raised back to life and he ascended to heaven. The Father sat him down on the throne where he reigns forever and ever. And 2 Timothy 4:1 says, in the last day, he will return to judge the living and the dead by the word he spoke. Amen. Amen. How do we know this? The Holy Spirit came from there to testify in the believer. Say amen if you have received the word of Yeshua, the blood of Yeshua, to confess that he is your Lord, he is your Savior. Amen. Amen. You believe that you have been redeemed, you have been saved from sin, from death, from the devil. Amen. Amen. That you have been paid for so you do not have to go to hell. Amen. 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 Why am I saying those things a little bit more specifically? Is because a lot of people think that we've been saved. So, yeah, if we've been saved from hell, why do we need to worry? Why do we need to come to church? Sometimes you come, sometimes you don't. Sometimes I feel like it, sometimes I don't. God is love. So what is the big deal? Why is everybody looking at it like, where were you last week? I didn't see you. We haven't seen you in a while. Oh, my God, I feel so guilty. Yes, some of you, I'm going to shake hands and say, I haven't seen you in a long time. Yes? Because I care. I care that we all stay alive. Because guess what? Salvation has not been completed. The salvation that the Lord completed 2,000 years ago on the cross is called redemption. He redeemed us from our sins. And by our faith, we have been forgiven. Say amen if this is you. This is your experience. That you believe. That every one of us must repent. We must believe. We have to receive. And by the faith, we are justified to be forgiven of our sins of the past. Say amen if you have. You believe that you have been forgiven by believing in his redemption. Amen. You have received his blood, the redeeming blood of God. Amen. Amen. It is the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, who testifies in us and reminds us of the word spoken by the Lord Yeshua. That's what he said in John 14, 24 to 26. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So today, by the Holy Spirit, we must remember what the Lord said. We must hear what the Lord said. When you come to church on the Lord's day, you must expect to hear what the Lord said. So that means, by the Spirit of truth, you need to have discerning ears. Discerning ears. Discerning ears is not like suddenly hearing voices and be like, go where? To get what kind of job? To marry who? To live where? That's not discerning voice. Some people think that. They think that, again, the Holy Spirit is like a fortune teller for you. He's not a fortune teller. That's a false prophet. If you go to church and you go to a place, they say they're a man of God, a woman of God, and speaking that kind of junk, you're listening to a false prophet. The true speaker, in other words, the true witness of Yeshua is he or she who testified these three things. First, Yeshua, who is he? The testimony is about who is Yeshua? Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? When he asked the disciples, Peter gave the perfect answer. What did he say? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Once again, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Meaning, you are man, but you are God. Christ is a position a man is to fulfill. Right? He's the anointed one, specifically the king. So he came as the Messiah, Christ, same words, the anointed, the king. But his nature is not man. That's the work that he came to do, to work as man in the flesh of man. But he is in nature, the very nature, God. Philippians 2:6, the very nature of God. The Word was God. He is God. Do you believe that? But the Word became flesh. God became flesh. That is who Yeshua is. And the reason why we spend so much time in our every sermon. Many years ago, a young man's like, oh, pastor, you always, destroyed. Why do you always talk about that? Because that tells us who Yeshua is. The Old Testament is written there to testify who Yeshua is, that he came upon all the prophecies of the Old Testament. Without it, we have no record. It's God's credit score. You look at it. Look at it. And then you know who he is. So don't take my word for it. You need to read it yourself. What do you say? Read it, study it, examine the Old Testament containing the prophecies and the promises all regarding Yeshua. Hallelujah. Secondly, we must testify what he did. What did he do? Yeshua, what did he do? First, we understand he is God. But second, what did he do? Meaning, what did he do in his flesh, with his body? What did he accomplish? What he accomplished was through his death, redemption. The redemption of sins of all men. He judged. He condemnation against sin and death. The origin of sin, that is, the devil. And by completing that, and to prove that he completed that mission, he was raised back to life. So in the flesh, he died. But in the flesh, same flesh, he was raised back to life. Do you believe that? His death and his resurrection. Because his resurrection testified what his death was about. Do you understand? If he didn't raise, he wasn't raised back to life, he's still dead, and we are dead in sin. We go to hell. But because he was raised back to life, proved that his word is true. He is who he said he is. And our sins have been redeemed. By faith, we have been forgiven. Hallelujah! Amen. So great a salvation. Thirdly, Yeshua, what did he say? What did he say? He said, what he said is referred to as the truth. What is it called? The truth. What is the truth? The truth is the word that does not deceive, that does not lie. That's why he said in John 8:44, your father is lie. And the reason why you have hard times, so people coming in the church, first we have to start with believing in Jesus. How do you believe Jesus, that Yeshua is the Son of God, that he came as man to die in your place and he was raised back to all of it? How do you believe that? You have to first believe that he created the heavens and the earth. If you are still going like, well, I think amoeba like is my ancestor, and then like by chance all of us just showed up. This belief is that principle, which is the, like this idea, not principle, a theory, right? That hypothesis called evolution, the theory of evolution, does not have room for God, right? Because you don't need God in that formula. You just on your own, with time. Let's just abracadabra, like bada bing, bada boom, add on more thousands of years, millions, billion years. Well, how about it? And maybe on its own, it's gonna turn into this. Yes, this. So if people hold on to that, they come into church and they're hearing about heaven and hell, eternal life, eternal condemnation, like, oh my God, I'm not getting anywhere because I believe that we all showed up with no God, and I don't even think that there is a creator. We don't go anywhere. That's why you have to understand the truth. The truth is the word of God that does not deceive, because such teaching that drives men towards not believing God. Atheism is the choice to not believe in God. It's a decision one makes to not believe in God. The framework that is minus God, that has no God in it. Then you do not believe the truth because you are in that framework without God, full of lies. That's why we have to break it. We have to start over and start with the word of God. God who speaks, who reveals himself through the word. Hallelujah. So we believe in the truth. And he spoke the truth. And guess what? That truth, he revealed through his signs, right? By driving out demons. He showed the reality of the spiritual world. That until then, even for the people of Israel who believe in God, they did not know anything about the demons. The unclean spirits that possess the body and bringing on curse and sickness. They did not know about that. But Yeshua, when he preached and he drove out demons, he revealed, exposed the spiritual world of demons, the unclean spirits. Unclean spirits, who are they? Spirits that are not saved. That are not saved. So he was speaking about salvation and condemnation, damnation, eternal condemnation, eternal punishment in place called hell. And he described in details of what that place is like in Mark 9:44 on. Talks about how the fire is so powerful that it will not quench, that fire cannot be quenched. Even their worms don't die because all men will be resurrected. John 5:29. All will rise to live or to be condemned. And when that resurrection happens, either to go to heaven or to hell, that body will suffer forever in hell because now there's nothing to be quenched, nothing to be destroyed. It's already in the spiritual body. So the suffering is spiritual. It is forever. Who spoke those words? Not mine. I didn't speak. I'm not the author of those words. I can't take credit for those words. The one who spoke in great details and the warning against the fire of hell was Yeshua. Exclusively Yeshua. So then you can understand, and a couple of people said, and I'm so glad, I'm so grateful when I hear it, which is that, man, you really speak the fire of hell here. Hallelujah. Thank you. I say thank you. Because that tells me I'm faithful to the word of Yeshua. But you know what? If you talk about the fire of hell, you talk about curse, all of this, what happens? All the customers? No thanks. I'm going to put up a bad review in this place. I'm going to go somewhere else. Because, yeah, there are a lot of churches out there, a lot of preachers, a lot of books out there, so-called Christians. Listen to them and be able to discern. Because if you have the spirit of truth in you, you'll be able to discern what the truth is when it's not. People can tell you the same thing. Pray, be a good person, be giving, sacrifice, and humbly serve one another. Love one another. Love each other. Love the nation. Love the people. Love all. Be yourself. All of that. They can mask it and say, like, this is all about the love of Christ. But how many of them are talking about eternal condemnation, eternal punishment in the fire of hell? How many of them are exposing the reality of the spiritual world, that after you die, there is another life to live, either with God or away from God, in hell or in heaven, in eternal life or eternal punishment? How many preachers are preaching that? That's why I'm even scared to listen to any preacher. Sometimes, like, I do just check out, like, the title and watch. And because you know what? I get so mad. I get so mad that I'm going to throw something on my computer screen. Because I almost did that to TV one time, too. I was working on it at home. And it left the machine years ago. And I was like, I wanted to throw this water bottle at the TV screen. They're like, God loves us and we can really enjoy life. God loves us, and because he loves us, we enjoy life. He wants us to be blessed and have his peace. Okay, have peace. Okay, I can understand that. But be prosperous, live a long life. Who said that? Who said that? In the Old Testament, Moses promised, if you obey the command of Moses, given through the people of Israel, through the angel in the name Jehovah, then you will live a long life in the promised land, and you will be prosperous. You will do well. How about Yeshua? Did he ever promise a long life, a blessed life, well-to-do, a success, enjoying your life? Let's look at the disciples. What happened to them? They all died for the Lord. Oh no, I'm following the wrong guy. Is that what you're thinking? The Lord says, if you want to follow me, you must lay down your wife, your children, your land, your dream, your plan. You must follow me. Let down your nets and follow me. And the disciples were those who immediately left their nets and followed him. And because they followed him, because he promised eternal life, something that they never heard of. Eternal life. They never heard of that. Not only eternal condemnation, but eternal life. Nobody promised anyone about eternal life. But here's Yeshua saying, you will resurrect to life, and after that you will have eternal life in the Father's house. And by that promise, because of that promise, they let go of everything and they followed him. To death they went. Because they knew that after their death, after their own crosses, will be the crown. And we sure admire them, their faith, their actions of their faith. So when we come to church today, we ought to expect to hear the word of God, the word of Yeshua, the word of the Lord. So that is someone who has the discerning ear, and we are not to hear and say, oh my gosh, Church of Jesus is like so much pressure. I was having a conversation with someone and I was hearing that a couple of days ago, and talking about words that ring in your ears, because it's not the first time and won't be the last. And I'm tired of hearing that. Church of Jesus is so much to do, so much pressure. I mean, we have to live life too, right? Like, we have obligations in the world, and it's so much pressure, so much burden. Like, I don't know if I can take it anymore. I want to go back to enjoying my life. I want to have peaceful thoughts. Why do I feel so pressured? So much burden you guys give. Me? us? We give you birth? Why would I do that? Where is the Lord? Where is Yeshua, the word of truth? We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Where we have been saved from is so great a salvation, not from just sickness, not from poverty, not from family brokenness, or even your anxiety or depression. Those things are important indeed, yes, in our personal lives. That is a testimony, that is a sign that we experience that the word of God is true, the word of the Lord is true. However, so great a salvation is not even from the global flood. It's from the fire of hell. And because our salvation has not been completed, the warning stands. Work out your salvation in trembling and fear. Grow up in your salvation. The end is coming. When it comes, only the godly men will be saved. Only those who have in great trembling and fear have worked out and ran towards our salvation and kept the word until the end will be saved. That's why the disciples asked the Lord, even in their time, Lord, will there be only few who be saved? And he said, when the Son of Man returns, he will come to the world to seek faith. And he asked the question, will he find faith on earth? On earth, full of 7 billion people, many of them call themselves Christian, go to church Sunday morning just like you and me right now. But they will be without faith because they do not care about the word spoken by the Lord. They like to hear the words that are sweet to their ears, that promise them blessing in this life, physical things, physical problems. Lord, but I need money, I need job, I need happiness, I need family. A lot of people are focused on the physical salvation and physical needs. They don't want to hear about the spiritual reality. That's why it says, do not drift away. Like when you drop a bag or paper in the water and it's going to drift away. Your salvation can drift away if you don't pay attention. Pay attention to the word spoken. So the Holy Spirit has to give us the discerning ears to know what is the truth and what is not. When to pay attention to the word of your brother, your friend, or not. Because just because you're sitting here and you can say, well, I've been in church. I was born in church of Jesus. My parents came here how many years ago and I was born here. Or I've been here for 10, 20 years. But your life has not changed or has gotten worse, it's drifted away. It's about present tense. Where are you? Whose words are you listening to? Why did you carry out into the action? Those actions that you have taken, where did that come from? You listen to your heart? Your heart is not God. Do not make your heart your God. Many people say, well, my heart doesn't feel, I don't feel like it. Don't make your feeling your God. God, the God of revelation, has spoken by the Lord Yeshua. And we listen to his word. When we listen to his word, he will not leave us homeless. He will not leave us sick. He will heal us. He will hear our prayer. He will answer us. He will bless us just enough so this day that I am carrying out his word. Amen. That I am just not distracted. I am not burdened by the worries of the world. Just like the parable of the seed, the Lord said, some seeds will fall on the path. So the birds come and eat. What does that mean? The devil will take away the word that you just heard so you do not believe and are not saved. Because the devil does not want you to be saved. He's going to take away the word. That's why you don't understand. You think you did. You might have taken test logos and you got decent grade, but you did not understand because the devil took it away. The rocky roads, there is no place for there's no moisture for the seed to, the plant to grow. So it's dried up. So the worries of the world drying up. So the seed there, he said in Luke 8. So in the rocky ground, the ones who receive the word for a time with joy. They like it. They like it. They even cry for a little bit. But then they believe in a while and the time of testing comes. And then they drift away. They don't have any place to root down. They don't understand the word. They have nothing to cling onto. And the seed that fell among the thorns, right? The seed brings out plants. And with the plants, the thorns grow together. And then the plant gets choked. And what does it say? Choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures. And they do not mature. Because your body wants, the world wants, I want more of that. The word dies. The spirit dies. But then there is a place that is called good soil. The seed that falls in the good soil. There are those who are noble and good-hearted who hear the word, keeps it, preserves it to produce a crop. What kind of soil do we want to be? Good soil. Good soil. We need to dampen out the noise that we are hearing from the world and from those people around us. Even if you're members of the body of Christ, be careful whose words you listen to. If you listen to people and you want to please people, because yeah, that's our nature. We want to be liked, right? So we listen to them and we don't want to offend them. But you need to cut off ruthlessly any words that take away your faith. I mean, I don't mean like, I don't want to talk to you. I don't mean that. You need wisdom. You need wisdom. I was talking to the ear expert, hearing expert Bob here, the ear surgeon, about some case that he was working and he did. But, you know, these human ears, as I said, have limited range of hearing about things outside. But we also have noise, a lot of noise we're making in the body, right? There's pulse running through and your eyes blinking. Do you hear any of that? You don't. But if you were to hear that, what happens to you? You go crazy. Yeah. You need to only hear what you need to hear. And if you start hearing things you shouldn't hear, like ringing in the ear, which is a real condition, people go crazy. They even become suicidal because it won't stop. So he was telling about some people who hear the batting of their eye, actually. They can hear the eyeballs move. Can you imagine that? Because something is not, they're too sensitive, hypersensitive. The nerves are like overworking, or they're conditioned, they're hearing their own pulse because some anatomically or some disease related, it's not working properly to dampen out the noise. So the body, it's amazing design of God that it regulates, like the noise we need to hear, we hear. The sound we need to hear, we hear. But there's a sound that we need to dampen out. It dampens out. When it's working properly, it does that. Same thing for the spiritual ears by the Holy Spirit. We need to dampen out the noise that takes away the faith. And we need to be heightened, be sensitive to the word of the Spirit that is spoken by the Lord. And keep it, retain it, live by it, obey it, and preserve it until the end. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Close your eyes. When you come to church, even though many of you have never been to a church before, perhaps this is your very first church. Those of you who come, been in church, been in here, the Church of Jesus, according to word that you know and that you've heard, what word should you be expecting to hear today? And therefore, what word should you decide to receive and listen to that determines the success or the failure of your faith life? The success is eternal life. And eternal life is given to those who hear the word spoken by the Lord, even if the word is burdensome. I need to have the heart, the ears of good soil. A good soil is hungry, waiting for the spring rain to absorb every drop. Which means that I need to crush my ego, crush my old ways of hearing and thinking and all ways of life. I need to destroy that, dampen that out, crush it, get rid of it, so that I can in pure form, hear the word of the Lord spoken by the Lord. Let us surrender by lifting up our hands to heaven. Lord, speak to me. Speak to me the word that is of this so great a salvation, the word that is about so great a salvation, so it will not drift away, that my faith will not drift away, but stay alive until the end. Help me, Yeshua.
Yeshua. The noise of the world and the lies of the devil.
Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the price you paid. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for unending grace. Thank you for your hope. Thank you for this life you gave. There is no one like you. There is no one like you, God. All my hope is in you.
you for your favor.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.